I want you to say no to fear and say, I know that the God who created me has given me the spirit of boldness. Whatever you're going through right now, the Bible says God is inviting us to bring our burdens to Him. I want to invite you to bring every trial, every temptation, every situation you're going through, everything that takes away sleep from you at night, just bring it at the foot of the cross. And I want to invite you to present those things to God. He wants to hear from you. Voice them to Him. Oh God, your word says, Lord, the battle we fight is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against cosmic powers, against spiritual forces in this dark world. And we know that we live in this dark world. And you say, God, even though we live in this dark world, we are not of this world, because we know that we have power that cometh from you. And God, this morning, in the name of Jesus, we rise and we claim that power, and we speak against every lie of the enemy running through our minds right now. We speak against every attack of the enemy. We speak against every word the enemy is waging against us, God, and we want to praise you for the victories you have given us in Jesus Christ. And God, I pray for everyone here today, especially those that were not able to come because they are sick. You are Lord, you are sovereign over every sickness. So I pray right now, God, that the same blessing here will be extended to them. And God, you will reach out and bring healing to their physical bodies in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray, God, those that are at home, the enemy will not take them captive. Lord, the enemy will not steal what you have planned for them today. I pray their hearts, their minds will be protected in Christ Jesus. And I ask, O Holy Spirit, that you will minister to all of us even today, that you will bring out your word in power, and God, that the kingdom of darkness will be completely torn apart even this today. Thank you, Father, because you are God. Who you say we are, we claim it in the name of Jesus.
There are a lot of people that are not in church today. Some of them are battling sickness. Some are battling other things. Some the enemy just say, well, you know, there's some snow in Hamilton, so just stay home and chill. But I don't know somebody that would do that. It's been a brutal week. It's been a hard week. Praying for people that are going through chemotherapy, praying for people that are sick, praying for Pastor Ted and his bride, praying for people that are going through some hard stuff. And the enemy is so good at coming in at the exact time when we are going through something to manipulate that situation and cause us to doubt the goodness of God. He's so good at coming in when we are struggling. He's so good at infiltrating our thoughts and making us think like him. And when we start thinking and believing what the enemy is telling us, then we begin to do and execute the will of the enemy. When we begin to think like the enemy, what we see God to be, we see God to be somebody who is so absent in our lives. And that's what the enemy is good at doing. And I come to share with you this morning from a popular passage that we all know, Romans chapter 12. And I titled this message, My Mind, the Battleground. My mind is the battleground. And I know every single day as I wake up that I'm going out. Each time I'm stepping out, I know I'm stepping into a combat. I know there are a lot of things waiting for me in my office. There are a lot of things waiting for me out there that I need to fight. And those things, the way I fight them, I begin here in your brain, in your mind. If you get defeated in your mind, you will be defeated out there. So I've come to announce to you that your mind is a battleground. and the war is happening in your mind. The war is not happening with somebody that doesn't love you. The war is not happening with people you don't like. The war is not happening with people who hate you. The war is not happening with people who cause pain to you. The war is right in your mind. So your mind is the battleground. Let us pray. I want you to pray for me, because if I'm sharing this, it doesn't mean that I'm perfect in winning that war all the time. And that is why I need you to be able to share this and share in the way that will bring glory to God. So I want to invite you to pray for me, and I'm going to close that session. Father, thank you for the privilege you've given us to come before you and to share your word today. Thank you especially for the privilege I have, for God, to be the vessel, the instrument that you want to use today. I pray, God, you empty me of who I am and fill me with your spirit. God, that I will speak nothing of my own, but that which you want your people to hear. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would take this word and speak it into the minds and the hearts of your people, and that transformation will happen. And God, that by the end of this session, we will say, truly, you have set us free. Thank you, God, for the power of your word. Be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Your mind is the battleground. There is war happening inside of you. And I want you to think about it. So, where is your heart? Is it the left or the right? Okay, so put your hand a little bit right where you have your heart. What is it doing? Pick, pick, pick. Okay, so your heart gets to work. When does it stop? When you die. Okay? So your heart never gets to stop. Have you ever thought of what your heart is doing? It's a crazy, miraculous organ that God has put in you. That heart is working, is pumping blood. Guess where that blood is going to? There's something around here that is so soft in that core in here. They call it the brain. And each time you see the word mind in the Bible, it talks about your brain. So your heart is supplying blood to the brain. And your brain is working. And each time the heart stops supplying blood to your brain, you will have a dead brain. And you will not think. You will not reason. Your reasoning faculty is gone. So the heart is constantly supplying blood in the entire body, but more importantly, to your brain, because this is where the subconsciousness and the consciousness, a lot of things happen in here. And I was doing research, and I looked it up, and many people concluded, many scientists, sometimes I believe in them, sometimes I do not, but many scientists concluded that the brain, gets to put together how many thoughts in a day? About 60 to 80,000 thoughts in a day. Whew. That is a lot. So you wake up in the morning, a lot of things start happening to you, and this guy starts walking. He's walking nonstop. If you see a butterfly, they are so beautiful. They jump from one flower to the other. They never get stopped. So they're all constantly jumping from one flower to the other. So the same way the brain is working, is constantly thinking, is constantly working, is constantly putting thoughts together. And because the brain is constantly working, the heart is constantly working to supply blood to the brain. And that is where we make decisions. It collects it, it sends it to the heart, and you conclude what you want to do. We often react to situations based mostly on our emotions. But this is what happened when God created. When God created man, God intentionally created man to be a triune being. So man was body, spirit, and soul. And the original purpose of God was that the spirit would dominate the body and the soul. But after the fall, something happened. After the fall, it was no longer the spirit that would inform the body on what to do and what decision to take. It was no longer the spirit of God that was in control. It was now the body, the soul, the emotions of man, the will of man dominated the spirit. And remember, when God created us, the Bible says that he breathed into us. He breathed his spirit. He gave us his spirit. It's that spirit that he gave us that was going to take leadership and lead the mind, the soul, our emotions, and our wills. But when the fall happens, remember that when the fall happens, God came into the garden, and when Adam and Eve heard God coming, the Bible says they ran and they hid themselves. So what happened? At that time, it was no longer the spirit that used to commune with God when God would come into the garden. It was now fear. It was now their emotion. It was now the body that was telling them that you've done something wrong. So you got to hide. So it was no longer the spirit. But God's intention was that the spirit would dominate and lead. There are a lot of things that are happening today. Because the battleground is in the mind, the enemy has infiltrated our minds. The enemy has infiltrated our mind, and what he wants you to do, he wants you to quit. He wants you to be depressed. He wants to stress you to death. He wants to discourage you. He wants you to hate people. He wants to make you feel like you got no purpose in life. The enemy has infiltrated our thoughts, and he wants us to be angry all the time. Boy, when I came to America, I've seen a lot of angry people. Whew. Angry all the time. And people get angry over the least thing. Even when a pastor is preaching and says something they don't like, they get angry. Sure. So what's going on? The thought process has been hijacked by the enemy. And the enemy is constantly telling you what to do. The enemy is constantly telling you, he has infiltrated your thoughts, that he is telling you all the time how you should react. How you should pick a fight. And it's because we've let him in. He lied to us. He wants us to see ourselves as a failure. Because we go to the wrong battleground. Each time you have a fight, you have a quarrel with your spouse, I want you to pause. I want you to stop and say, hey, let me check my heart first. The moment you stop and say, what about me? Is it me that is at fault? You're going to get a better solution. But if the enemy comes in and says, you got to hit hard on your spouse because he is wrong, because she is wrong, and you execute that assignment, you are going to come out a defeated person. The enemy is using us to destroy us. Is that English enough? The enemy is using you to destroy you. So when he comes in, he will say, you know, you got to give up. You got to give up on this dream because you're never going to make it. And you give up. When it comes in, you say, well, you have all the right to be angry because this person really hurts you. And you get angry. When it comes in, you say, oh, you know, your spouse is not good enough, so he, she doesn't deserve this. And you execute it. The enemy is after your mind. Every second. He is after your mind. And he wants to tell you things you should do. But Paul, in Romans chapter 12, let's go to that text. Romans chapter 12, Paul is going to give us a weapon. Paul is going to tell us what we need to do, how we need to fight the enemy, how we need to make our thoughts pure and bring glory to God. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 2. I beseech you, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. I beg you, that's Paul. He's kneeling, he is begging, I beseech you, please. That's what Paul is saying. I beg you in the name of God to present your bodies a living sacrifice. I preached from this verse 1, I think 2 years ago, if you can, your memories are clear. But look at verse 2. And do not, okay, so he's employing a conjunction. So he just put a full stop, but he's not going to stop there. It start, verse 2 starts with and, which is a powerful conjunction. It says, and do not. That is a command. That's imperative. That's an imperative. Do not be conformed. NIV will say, do not be conformed to the patterns of this world. This version says, do not be conformed to this world. We live in a world, in a culture, especially in America, that the church is gradually drifting away from their responsibility, and we are allowing the culture to define to us how we got to live life. The culture is fast coming in, and we are gradually going to use the culture as the Bible. And people are so scared to speak the truth, because it's going to offend somebody, because it's not the culture. It's not the way we've done it. It's not the way we should do it. So what is Paul saying? Paul is saying, no, that's not what you got to do. He is saying, we live in a world, but we are not of the world. Therefore, do not be conformed. Conformity means that you get to do the things the world is doing. Do not be conformed any longer. Some versions use the word any longer, and I love that word any longer, which means that was the thing, those were the things I used to do. But now that I am a new creation in Jesus Christ, it's saying, stop. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old is gone. And Paul is saying, do not conform. Do not be conformed any longer to the patterns of this world. It brings in another conjunction in comparison to not being conformed. It says, but be transformed. Be transformed. And how am I going to be transformed? It brings in a preposition, by the renewing of your mind. That is a big problem. Why is he bringing these worldly things and then connecting it with the mind? Because the mind is seeing things. The mind is constantly thinking. The mind is constantly going through things that are evil. So how are you going to filter those things and select the ones that will bring glory to God and execute those? It said, do not be conformed, but be transformed. Be transformed, how? By. You can circle the word by, because it tells you how you're going to be transformed. Do not be conformed, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, there's a lot of argument about what voice is in that text, whether it is passive, because if it is passive, it means that there is an actor that is asking us to execute a verb. And what is the verb? The renewing. But who is going to do the work of the renewer? My conclusion, and I have read intensively about this, my conclusion is that it is God doing the work of the renewer, but it takes you to come to God in submission and say, God, here am I. Renew me. God is not going to come and impose it on you and say, I am going to renew your heart. He is going to come to somebody who is willing and who is saying, I desperately need you. Renew my mind. So that's why I am not into that theological argument, whether it is passive, because passive means God is doing it and you got nothing to do. You got work to do when it comes to the renewing of your mind. And he says, do this. This is what it says in Ephesians. We are currently studying the book of Ephesians in our Sunday school class. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, this is where Paul makes it so, put it so beautifully. It says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Hallelujah. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. So your struggle, your fight, the fight you fight is not against your pastor, it's not against your brother, it's not against your sister, it's not with your checkbooklet. Your fight is not with those people who do not like you. Your fight is not with family members. Your fight is not against man. Your fight is against powers. It's against rulers. It's against authorities. It's against evil spirit in this dark world. When you pick a wrong fight, you fight it, you will go home defeated. When you pick a wrong fight, and the worst of it, you pick the wrong battleground, you will go home defeated. But it goes on to say, our fight is against powers of this dark age and against spiritual forces of the evil in the heavenly realms. You are a spiritual being with the power of God embedded in you, and he is calling on you to engage in the right kind of fight. When was the last time you fought with your spouse? When is the last time you fought with your children? When is the last time you went through some battle because your checkbooklet could not balance? When was the last time you had a fight, a struggle, because your health is not stable? How did you fight it? Paul gives me an idea how to fight it in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. From verse 3, 4, though we live in this world, hello, stay awake. Though we live in this world, it said we do not wage war as the world does. How does the worldly people fight? They can take javelins, they can take guns, they can take machine guns to the war, the battlefront. That's how they fight. They want to shed blood, they want to kill. It says, though we live in this world, we do not fight like the worldly people do. It says, the weapons we fight with, the kind of weapons that God has given us, it says, they are not physical weapons. They are not carnal. But these weapons have divine powers. What are these divine powers used for? Okay? Stay with me. It said divine powers, there is a dative, it said to, which introduces what those divine powers are going to do. Divine powers to demolish strongholds. How many of you got strongholds? Woohoo! Demolish. And when I got to that word demolish, I stopped. Just think about the word demolish means. If a bulldozer comes in here and wants to demolish this building, we're not going to go out with a bulb, a light. We're not going to go out here with any single thing, because this entire building will be crushed, will be demolished. So the kind of power God has given you is to demolish. But what are we going to demolish? Strongholds, number one. Number two, we demolish arguments. I put a full stop there, but there's no full stop. We demolish arguments. And I want you to circle that word argument, because we get to argue with God all the time. We argue with God in our minds. We tell God, this is how I want this thing to happen. We argue with God. I know what I'm doing. We argue with God all the times. And we get to advise God. We get to counsel God. And we think that we know better than God. Arguments. Again, Paul is talking about you. He's not talking about somebody out there. So the power he is given is to demolish strongholds in me, demolish arguments, my arguments that will want to raise itself against the knowledge of God. He said, I demolish them. So when my mind begins to tell me that God is not good enough to let me go through this, by the way, for some of you who do not know, I was sold as a slave in Africa, and if I wasn't a Christian by that time. But I have heard people say, why me, God? Why did you let this happen to me? So what are you doing? You are trying to advise God. You're trying to argue with God. You're trying to let God know you know best. We do that every day. When you pick the wrong fight, that's what happens. But he's giving you power and authority to demolish strongholds, arguments, and every pretension. Yesterday, my son went to the restroom and he came out so fast. And I said, did you wash your hands? Yes, yes, I did it. And I said, let me see your hands if they are still wet. And he didn't come to me. He ran straight to the restroom to clean his hands because he knew he didn't do it. And he knew he would be punished for that. So there are a lot of times we pretend, we fake it, we make it so real. And he says this power is to demolish pretense. Demolish pretense. Everything in your heart that is pretending to be glorifying God, but which is glorifying you, you got to demolish it. And he said those pretenses are things that they try to set themselves up against God's knowledge. I shared with you briefly on Wednesday prayer meeting how the knowledge of God is so big. If he created you, he formed you in your mother's womb. He knew you even before you came out into this world. So there's nothing in the whole creation that can be hidden from God. So he knows you. His knowledge is so big. And the only thing we can do when we see a mighty God with that great of a knowledge, the only thing we could do is to bow and to say, you are God. But most often we try to set our speck of a knowledge against the knowledge of God. And how do we do that? Because we live in this world, we try to advise God. We try to tell him that this is good. You know, there are certain things that until we get home, we're never going to get the answers. There are certain things that when God does them, you should just let them be and just worship him. Don't try to fight with him. That's who he is. But these powers are to demolish this strongholds, to demolish this argument, to demolish the pretense, and to demolish anything that wants to set itself up against the knowledge of God. And the next phrase, if you can read with me. And so why did he not put it in the list of those things we demolish? He just finished with the list of the things we demolish, and he's going to bring in and, secondly, and we take captive. We take captive every thought. Every thought. So as you wake up in the morning, and the enemy start lying to you, and their thoughts flying all over your mind, and the enemy is telling you you're not good enough, you cannot do this, you got to give up, you're going to die, you're not going to be healed from this sick, your pastor doesn't love you, the people in church doesn't love you. If the enemy start whispering those lies into your mind, this is what Paul is advising you to do. He is saying, take those thoughts captive. Amen? You have the power to rise and you say, not in this body, not in my life. You have control over those powers because the Spirit of God is in you. If the Spirit of the living God is in you, the Bible says that God has given us power and authority. When he sent us out to preach the gospel, he didn't just send us out and say, go try it, go fend for yourself and go figure it out by yourself. The Bible says that he gave us power and authority. So you have that power to take every thought that is not glorifying to God, any thought that has been contaminated, any thought that has been intoxicated, you got to take it captive and bring it to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and say, you are not happening. I am not going to bow to you, enemy. Many of us go to bed. By the way, yesterday, my wife was admiring how great and handsome husband. Yeah, it would be me. It's no other. Yes. And she was admiring me, and then she came closer, and she said, "What am I seeing on your hair? Gray hair?" And then she called all the family, "Come and see what is on his hair, gray hair." Whoa. Okay. I said, you know, the answer I gave them is because I stress up a lot sometimes. Some of this gray hair is not glory. Some of it is stress. Some of it is pain. But anyway, I'll be 42 in 2 months. So I expect gray hair. That's fine. So I'm good. But some of us go to bed at night. We sleep, but we don't rest. Should I say that again? You sleep, but you don't rest. There's a difference between sleep and rest. So when you sleep and you don't rest, it means that at night, this mind was constantly going through thoughts, going through things. You take this chapter, you finish with it, and you already have your plan how you're going to do this thing the next day. And then before you finish with it, another thing shows up, and you start thinking about it, and then it steals your sleep away. And then you wake up in the morning, you're like a zombie, and you're moving like, because you slept, you did not rest. Your mind did not rest. The enemy comes after us at night, and he wakes us up. He doesn't wake us to pray. He wakes us up to think. And 99% of the time, the thoughts that we have are negative thinking. You're thinking, why did Dan look at me that way in church? And then you start thinking about it. By the way, why did this person, I greeted this person and they didn't respond to me. And you start thinking about it. And the enemy keeps bringing things in your mind and you start thinking about it. I am saying this because these things have happened to me. So I'm not an angel telling you these things. And the moment you start thinking, the moment the devil infiltrates your thoughts and he starts telling you things to think about, you gradually get into a point of depression. And you're always looking sad. There is no peace in your mind. No joy. Because the mind is not resting. And even if it is not resting, it's not thinking about the positive things. It's not thinking about how to grow the body. It's not thinking about the things you need to do to help one another. We talk about gossip, but you know what? The mind gossips to you all the time. And you're saying, why did they do that? The mind is causing you to ask questions, and then it keeps running. It keeps running. It keeps running. And you are deteriorating. I look up the word in Greek, the word renew, renewing of our minds. It actually means to renovate, to make something completely new. And so God is calling on us, and the way he puts it is in a participle form in that text, which means that it's a progression, it's something that continuously has to be happening. It's not something that you renew your mind now and you're done with it. It is something that every second you got to be renewing your mind. Because thoughts come in. The enemy comes in, and it's after your thoughts. And that is why you got to be renewing your mind every day. We ask a lot of questions. God, why me? Why is this thing happening to me? Let me tell you that it is the will of God. And how do you get to know the will of God? Get back to Romans chapter 12. How do you get to know the will of God? In chapter 2, the last part of it, it says, let me read the whole of verse 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. It says, and do not be conformed to this world any longer, but be transformed by the renewing. Again, circle it. It's in a participle form, present active. And it says, renewing of your mind that you may, okay, that you may. So there are some good words in the Bible that can help me. I struggle a lot with English. But they help me, those little words, they help me study. That. So when we want to know the will of God, the Bible is calling on us, Paul is calling on us, God is calling on us to be renewing our minds every day. So when we are doing that, it says, so that introduces the result. That introduces the result. Or some version says, then, okay? So it says, then you will know and prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So how do you get to know the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God? It's when you choose not to conform any longer to the pattern of this world. It's when you choose not to go back to drugs. It's when you choose not to go back to lying. It's when you choose not to go back to corruption. It's when you choose to be doing the things that will bring glory to God and daily renewing our minds. And when we choose to do those things, the Bible says, then, okay? So that word then is so powerful. Then you will be able to know the acceptable and perfect will of God. Flip it the other way. If you are not renewing your mind, then there is no way you will know the perfect and acceptable will of God in your situation. But this is. I want to conclude this morning by saying there is good news. Amen? There is good news because God has not kept us in the limbos. There is good news. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 6 and 7. You know, when the enemy comes in and he tells us that we are not good enough, what is he doing? He is making us to think. He's making us to be anxious. And when we are anxious, we get to the point of depression and we get to the point of stressing out and we get to the point of no return and that we would die. But this is what God is saying this morning. Sorry. This is what God is saying in Philippians chapter 4, and it is for you. Philippians chapter 4, it says, do not be anxious. Be anxious for nothing. It's in the imperative form. Be anxious for nothing. What do you mean, Paul? What about my mortgage that I got to pay next week and I don't have the money? I shouldn't think about it. What about my Medicare bills? Are you saying I shouldn't think about it? What about that brother that is going through some painful cancer moment treatment? I shouldn't think about it. I shouldn't be worried about it. That's not what Paul is saying. Paul is saying that when those moments come, when you think that you cannot pay your bill, when you think that this sickness is not going to go away, he gives you a way out. He said, but, so when you're not anxious, there is one thing you should be doing that will replace that anxiety, that will replace that anxiousness. He said, but in everything, I circle that word in everything in my Bible because I know that everything carries every situation that I go through. But in everything, by prayer. Amen? By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Come on, what are you telling me? That I should thank God in that painful moment? Yes. In everything, by prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God. Ooh. There are a lot of times, instead of me making my request known to God, I try in my human ways to handle the situation. And I always end up a failure. But this is what he's saying to you this morning. He said, I know you are sick. I know you're going through pain. I know there is trial time. I know that things have crowded your mind. I know that you are battling. But I want you to present those things to me. That's the invitation God is giving you. I want you to come to me and present those things to me. And verse 7. And again, you should ask yourself a question. Why is this guy using a lot of conjunctions in the Bible? And a peace of God. Yeah, I got a student now. He didn't use the indefinite article. What article is he using? It says, and they, not a. So there is a difference between a peace of God and the peace of God. So it's talking about a specific kind of peace. They, not a peace. So the peace of God, what peace? The peace Jesus gave us, he said, not the kind of peace that the world will give you. The peace of God. He said, and the peace of God which surpasses knowledge. Which surpasses your argument that you're presenting to God. The peace of God surpasses everything that I go through. And every knowledge that I have. Every understanding. So when we present our request to God, God comes in. He's not giving us joy. He's not providing. He's not healing. He's not providing the money for us to pay our mortgage. Most often what God does is that he gives us his peace. And what is this peace going to do? It says, the peace will guard your hearts and minds. I was expecting an amen. That is not good enough. It says, and the peace of God, not my peace, the peace of God will come in. And what is he going to do? It will guide this brain. This mind that is constantly thinking, is constantly fighting, is constantly accepting the lies of the enemy. It says that when the peace comes in, the peace is not just going to sit there, it's going to guide, it's going to protect so that the enemy shouldn't come in and lie. What you need in that situation is the peace that cometh from God. That's what you need. And when his peace comes in, you will go to bed, you will sleep like a baby. And you wake up in the morning, hey, get up, it's time to go to work. Oh, really? Is it morning yet? Yeah, because the peace of God kept your mind, guided your mind, protected your mind. And when the enemy comes, it hits and it falls off because there is nowhere to penetrate. The peace of God. Look at it again. Say, the peace of God that surpasses knowledge will guide your mind, your heart and your mind. Where? In. Okay? In Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. That's what I need. That's what I need for this life. Because guess what? There are things that will stress me out every day. There are things that if you want to kill yourself, they will kill you. There are things that will take you to a level of depression. But when you pray for the peace of God, do you know why Jesus gave us peace before he left? There are key important things that he promised us, the Holy Spirit and his peace. You need peace. Even when the doctors say that you're going to die in 1 month, what you need is the peace of God. That's what you need. And that peace is not just coming to make you happy, to comfort you. It is coming to do a specific thing. It's coming to guide your mind. Protect it. So that the lies of the enemy will not get in. Is there anybody here this morning that wants to fight the right kind of fight? And you want to rise up and say, depression, you're getting out of my life. You want to rise up and say, spirit of setbacks, whatever you can call it, you're getting out of my life. Because the Bible says that he that the Son of Man sets free is partially free. Is that what it says? It says it is free indeed. Amen? So if Jesus comes in, he is setting you completely free. I want somebody to be free from depression this morning. Somebody to be free from sorrow. Somebody to be free from anger. Somebody to be free from every demonic spirit that has laid hold of you. I want somebody to be free. And if you are that person, I want to invite you to come up front here and we're going to pray together. The worship team is going to come up and do the song again, Break Every Chain. But if God is calling on you that your mind needs cleansing, your mind needs to be protected with his peace, and that you need to be free, I shouldn't be asking you. You should be running up here, friends. God wants to step in and he's bringing his peace. Do you want to embrace that this morning? If you need that peace, run up here. Right now, some of the thoughts of the enemy is he's speaking to you already. And you got to defeat that. And leave your seat. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we now have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to read that Romans chapter 5 verse 1 again. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to pray for these people up here, but I want to give you an opportunity to make peace with God. Not just to have his peace, but to make peace with him. God, I come today in your name. And I want to thank you for those who heard your voice and responded. God, I pray in the name of Jesus that anything the canker worm have chopped in their lives, I pray for restoration today in the name of Jesus Christ. God, the peace that has been taken away by the enemy, I pray for restoration. The confusion the enemy has brought into their homes, in their marriages, in their families, I kick it out. God, every seed, every evil seed the enemy has sown in their lives, by the power in your name, I command that seed to wither and to die off in the name of Jesus Christ. And I pray for freedom. I pray for freedom. I pray for freedom. I pray for freedom in the lives of your people. In the name of Jesus Christ. And you enemy, I command you in the name of Jesus, whatever grip you have against them, I command you to loose. Loose your grip over their lives. Loose your grip over their marriages. Loose your grip over their children. Loose your grip over their destinies. In the name of Jesus Christ. God, I pray that your peace, your peace, your peace that surpasses knowledge will fill every heart, oh God, that is here today. Will fill their homes and they will testify of your peace. Jesus, guide our minds. Guide our minds even through the power of your peace. God, that every day we will be able to say, I fought the right battle and I won because you are fighting those battles for us. Today I claim the verse that says he who is in them is greater than the one who is in the world. And I pray that they will march out victoriously, oh God. And every situation that they come across, victory will be their portion. They will say, I serve a living God. Thank you for battles. Thank you for giving us battles. Thank you for giving us pain. Thank you for ordaining these pains, oh God, that through them we may see the manifestation of your power. Do your work in the lives of your people, even today. And I thank you. And now may his grace and may his peace be your portion, even as you leave this place today. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you.